The opinions expressed on this webmasterradio.fm program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of webmasterradio.fm. Any rebroadcast or retransmission of this program without the express written consent of webmasterradio.fm is prohibited.
Mobilizing your marketing efforts. Welcome to Mobile Presence. Discover the best practices for tracking and targeting mobile marketing. Our hosts will take you inside the latest trends in mobile technology and help you make the most out of the mobile web. Learn about the latest strategies and trends in the world of mobile, web development, search, email marketing, text message marketing, and more. Leverage your mobile presence today. Now, prepare to get mobilized. Here are your hosts, Cindy Crum and Eric Chan.
Hi, everybody. This is Cindy Crum, and you are listening to Mobile Presence on webmasterradio.fm. I'm excited about the show today because we have Eric Chan joining us, and he's actually joining in a more permanent way than he's been with us before. He's been on the show a couple times, and we decided we liked him enough that we're going to make him a co-host. So say hi, Eric.
Hi, Cindy, and thanks very much to everybody at Mobile Presence and Webmaster Radio.
Yay! So everyone, if people are loyal listeners, they've heard of you before, but just give a very quick recap of like what you do and stuff like that.
Sure. So I have my own blog called Mobile Slate. My Twitter handle is at Mobile Slate. I consult companies who are interested in getting into mobile and increasingly social media.
Ooh, well, social and mobile are so tightly linked. I mean, the social sites are the most frequently visited on the phones, right? That's what I'm seeing in all my research.
Yeah, more and more people, I think, are coming to the conclusion that mobile and social are tightly linked, and all these apps and all these lines of communication to stay in touch with friends, even if they're far away or down the street, is definitely a huge trend that is taking off. Chirp is happening today and tomorrow in San Francisco, which is the Twitter Developer Conference, and there's a lot of interesting statistics that have been cropping up as a result of the conference.
Are you tweeting those? Should I be watching closer to your tweets?
Unfortunately, I'm not attending the event. It's probably being Ustreamed or podcasted or streamed somehow, but there's been some really interesting stats that Biz Stone, who is the CEO there, have been telling everybody about the platform. So,
okay, awesome.
So, if you want some statistics, so let's see. He quoted in his keynote that there are over 105 million Twitter users, 300,000 signups per day, 180 million uniques per month, and 75% of the traffic is outside of Twitter.com. So that would be either through text messaging or Twitter clients. So definitely numbers to be impressed by.
Yeah, big deal. Okay, so let me give the listeners a little framework of what we're going to talk about today. We don't have a guest today. It's just me and Eric, but the things that I thought we would talk about is we'll continue with this social thing because I think it's fascinating, especially with everything that's been going on recently with the Twitter ads and stuff like that. But then I'd also like to, of course, address the iPad question. How important is it? Stuff like that. Does that sound like a good lineup, Eric?
Yeah, I'm all about talking about the iPad this week, so that's great.
All right, well, let's go back to social really quick and talk a bit more about that. So I think from what I'm seeing, the Facebook Connect is having a huge impact. And all the other social networks are putting out APIs as well that allow especially apps to integrate, but also websites to integrate social stuff, both online, but then again with the apps on the phone. Have you seen a statistic or anything like that about how many of the apps now integrate Twitter and Facebook and stuff like that?
I don't know if I've seen exact numbers, but I have noticed that all the apps that I download or play with, or websites that I go to and sign up, I've been noticing either the, you know, use Twitter to sign in or Facebook. And what's really interesting is that it's competing a little bit with this whole OpenID open source movement, which is, you know, a single sign on or a single login registration.
Who do you think is going to win?
You know, I think it's going to be somewhere between Twitter, Facebook, instead of the OpenID side. Although, yeah. Having said that, probably the OpenID side may win if it's in the workplace, just because, I mean, in the workplace, it may be hard to justify using those credentials to log into enterprise applications.
Sure, sure. Well, now, I haven't messed with Facebook settings in a while. Is there a way for me to send my Facebook updates directly to Twitter? Because I know I send all my tweets to Facebook, which to me, the integration where I can start with Twitter and send it to Facebook is important, because to me that would say that Twitter is going to be the winner if there's only one-way communication from Twitter to Facebook, but not from Facebook to Twitter. But on the other hand, there are more people on Facebook. More people downloading.
So I know that there's, I think it's just another app that you install that probably exports your Facebook status to Twitter. And then obviously with the Twitter clients like a TweetDeck or a Hootsuite, you can actually publish your tweets directly to Facebook and Twitter and all these other sites. So
for sure. Now I think it's interesting. I wrote about the idea that the things that are really going to take off on mobile, I kind of took it old school and went for Maslow's hierarchy. Do you know Maslow?
I do. I'm a fan.
I'm a fan too. So I went after Maslow and I was like, look, if you want to know what's going to take off next in mobile, look at Maslow's hierarchy. Anything that allows people to feel safer or more connected to their loved ones, like more loved, that's what's going to take off. And I think that's key in this idea that the social networks are taking off so much, is not only the personal nature of the phone makes it ideal for and the portable, obviously, makes it ideal for social networking, but also just people in this digital age where sometimes we work with people that we never see and things like that, and we're always moving and moving around, the easy connection to your loved ones really kind of wins the day in my mind.
I think the other interesting evolution related to Maslow is that, you know, the basic needs used to be that I have a phone, I'm, you know, part of the in crowd, or I'm part of just the norm, which is just having a cell phone. Sure. And then that led to, if I have a cell phone, I can use it in all these situations, so I get some security and safety. But then now that's kind of been like pushed down to, okay, if everybody has a cell phone, that's fundamental. And then the next wave of feeling safe and secure is the social networking ability, the apps, all of these things. So we continue to evolve that same pyramid where more and more stuff just becomes very fundamental to how we use our mobile phone.
Like, I remember when I was a kid, my parents didn't want me to have a cell phone, and I said, well, what if I get in a car accident? And that won. I win. Like, they got me a cell phone.
Right.
You know? Right. And so that's the safety function, is being able to be connected. And then you look at things like the guy, where was that, where he was in jail, and he tweeted, you know, in jail, please help, or something like that. And a bunch of his friends, like, knew immediately how to help this guy, and they got him out of jail. It wasn't like he was a drunk, like he was in jail somewhere scary or
hopefully not a Turkish prison.
It was something along those lines, where he kind of had minimal rights and stuff like that. But anyway, but like now, as long as for me, like, not that I do anything where I would be in jail, but I would want a tweet more than a phone call.
Sure.
To go get help.
So I found it really interesting that I had dinner with some very interesting characters last night, and one of the guys is a wine fanatic, and he said that he's gotten to the point where he has his Twitter account for the sole purpose of learning more about wine. So he doesn't look at blogs, he doesn't look at websites anymore. He just follows a bunch of people who he feels are knowledgeable about wine. He uses his account to ask those people questions about, you know, what he should choose or what should be good or what are some food pairing kind of things. But that's all he does with Twitter. I mean, he uses that exclusively for his passion, his hobby, but also as a great source of news. And, you know, in some ways, I think it's great because he has a channel. In other ways, I think it's just that's what it's been boiled down to is how much can you pack into a link or pack into 140 characters. And then hopefully if you click on that link, it unpacks it to a picture or a review or something else, you know, maybe commerce, so that, you know, people can be more informed and do something actionable.
Yeah, well, sure. I use Twitter. I don't know if probably not everyone appreciates this, but I use Twitter when I see an interesting tweet go by and I don't have time to read it. I'll still retweet it. Because I keep an archive of everything I've ever tweeted, that's a searchable archive. So I'll retweet it just so I can include it in my archive of things that I think are cool and then search my archive later to find it, you know? So that's, I mean, I'm creating almost my own little mini search engine by doing that. Like, these are things that I think sound cool and I can search this instead of searching Google.
So, you know, a little bit related to some of the stuff that you've been working on, Cindy, with the mobile marketing. You know, when companies take on the fact that they want this thing called a Twitter account, I think what they need to realize is that they're building, just like you said, their own sort of mini knowledge base, both as a customer support tool, but also as, you know, other customers can use that as a way to interact with the company. So the example from my conversation last night was, let's say you have a product and you hated it, and you complained over Twitter to the corporate company's product, you know, Twitter account, right? Let's say it was, I don't know, some kind of, I don't know, calculator you bought for some boring reason. You know, you can complain, and as long as the person got a response from that company. They may not ever come back again, but it's all the other people that come after them who see that that company is being responsive and actually using it as a knowledge base for product development, improvement, this and that. But I think that's a really effective way to use kind of these new mediums for marketing and just being a good corporate citizen.
Absolutely. That's a really good point, is that maybe some of these bigger brands should be pulling their tweets into a searchable database on their site, almost like an FAQ.
Right.
That's a great point. I hadn't thought about that. Wow. Well, but then getting back to mobile, the other thing that I've been saying forever is that if you have a Twitter strategy, you need to have a mobile strategy. Like if you're sending out links over Twitter and people are clicking on them from their phone and they're not working, that's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a couple months ago when I was meeting with you in person at a conference, I think we were talking about how, you know, creating a mobile site off of your own web presence can be really simple, but I think a lot of people try to make it overly difficult. And so you're right. If you're going to have a Twitter account, you should also have a mobile strategy that tightly couples with your web presence.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, I think we're going to go for a break, and then when we come back, we're going to be talking about the iPad / maybe iPad. I don't know. We'll get everyone's opinions when we get back. So you're listening to Mobile Presence on WebmasterRadio.fm with Cindy Crum and Eric Chan. We'll be right back.
Mobile Presence will be back after we connect you to our sponsors.
Looking for an affiliate network that can package every solution an advertiser or publisher needs in one account? Your one-stop source for full-service solutions is AdMedia.com. AdMedia delivers an incredible lineup of specialized XML feeds for local, social, and search, plus the advertising arsenal of PPC, SEM, contextual, display, and more. AdMedia gives your campaign real visibility, from emailers to domain redirects. AdMedia tailors your all-in-one campaign to give your account a real advantage. AdMedia.com delivers cost-effective ad solutions with real conversions. Learn everything AdMedia can do for you today. Sign up at AdMedia.com. AdMedia, strong ROI made simple.
Staying ahead of the curve to deliver the best online marketing solutions you need. That's what the Jar Group is all about. The Jar Group offers a full-service suite of marketing and managing solutions custom-tailored for affiliate, search, and social media. The Jar Group uses their resources and research to help meet and exceed the revenue expectations of each and every client. Find out how the Jar Group can work for you at thejargroup.com. That's thejargroup.com. The Jar Group, online marketing with measurable results.
What is this? Why is my website not ranking higher?
Well, sounds like you could use a link building report from SEOFox.com.
What's that?
You can't rank without good backlinks. And SEOFox.com's link building report lets you enter domains and compare their backlinks. It gives a detailed report that shows you why each domain ranks where it does, and it reduces the time it takes to find more links. With SEOFox.com's link building report, you can find more links, use their search marketing services to find more links, or better yet, they could even build your own backlinks.
So you think you're pretty sly with that SEO Fox link building report?
Sly like a fox.
Get your link building report today at SEOFox.com. That's SEOFox.com. AFCON 2010, the trade show that you know, where affiliates always attend for free, is making its way to Denver, June 21st through 23rd. Register now at AFFCON2010.com.
Mobilizing your marketing efforts. Welcome back to Mobile Presence on WebmasterRadio.fm. Here are your hosts.
All right, and we're back on Mobile Presence on WebmasterRadio.fm. I'm Eric Chan from Mobile Slate, and I'm here with Cindy Crum from Rank Mobile. And before the break, we were just talking about Twitter, some strategies related to that and having a mobile presence. And now we're going to talk about that thing that happened a couple weeks ago or a couple days ago called the iPad. So, Cindy, what are your thoughts?
You heard a sneak preview of my thoughts. I haven't played with one yet, so I'm not fully qualified to comment. But I do think it might just be kind of a fizzle, like the Apple TV kind of was. I don't know. It just seems big and heavy and very breakable and expensive. And to me, it's just for apps. And the apps, from what I've read, all the apps are going to have to be redone to fit the iPad. And not all the apps are great for an iPad. Like, you think about shaking a big old iPad to search on Urban Spoon. Like, yeah, there's a button, but the shaking part's a button. You know?
I think my biggest problem is that it's expensive. You know, if you're trying to get people to have this new form factor, I mean, at the high end, you know, you're going to spend like $1,000 on this thing. I mean, I would rather just buy a whole new laptop at that point. And you could even just buy a MacBook. You wouldn't even have to buy a PC. That's been my biggest thing. I mean, the other
and
day...
And the keyboard. If you bought a laptop, you would have a keyboard. Woo!
Yeah.
Special.
Yeah. I've played with the keyboard just on the iPad, and it's just like using an iPhone. Sometimes it's responsive. There's a little bit of an oddness that you have to get used to because it's on the screen versus kind of at an angle that everybody's used to. But yeah, I mean, the other day, you know, I went to the store, checked it out, played with it, and then, you know, I asked them, okay, so what do you have in stock? And they said, oh, we only have the 64 gig devices left. The 32s are out, and obviously the 16s are out because that's the cheapest one. And I just asked myself, I said, okay, if I really, really want it, I'm going to spend like $800?
Right. And are the like iFart apps that you get on it, like, that great? Are they worth that to have iFart on a big iPhone?
Yeah, I don't know. But now, on the positive side, I think one thing that would be really cool, and I hope it's going to be launched soon by somebody, is, you know, this would be an awesome way to play board games. because you wouldn't have to set it up. You wouldn't have to do cleanup. If you knocked over the pieces, it wouldn't affect anything. You know, so if I was going to play like checkers with you or chess, Cindy, I mean, that is like a really cool way to use this device. It's maybe overkill because of the price.
Yeah, overkill for the price, probably, at least now. Maybe if I were a mom and I had four kids that were loud in the back of the car during road trips, then I'd get them like a checkers, you know, get all the checkers and Scrabble and stuff like that. That's actually a really good idea. And then it's being promoted as an e-reader, but the screen is shiny, which that was one of the big things about the Kindle. The Kindle is not shiny, you know?
Yeah, and the Kindle uses a lot less power when you read. So, yeah. When you have the Wi-Fi on the iPad, I mean, it can't last that long.
And you still have to plug it into your computer to do iTunes, I think, to link up with all your iTunes stuff on your computer. They can't hook it through Wi-Fi. That's what I've heard anyway.
Yeah, when you buy the device, you turn it on, the first thing it will ask you to do is plug it into a computer. I mean, that's just weird. It's supposed to be this computing device that's independent, but you still have to plug it into, you know, your Mac or your PC or something.
Yeah. So it's just kind of an interesting thing. I think it may have some potential for some things. Like you said, for board games, that's good. And maybe for gaming in general, that's good. But I'm not sure that the apps or that browsing is going to be enough. But I'll give positives too. on the positive side, it indicates what I've been saying for a long time, which is the need for device-independent design and mobility. You have to build stuff that's going to work everywhere instead of building – and it kind of throws a wrench in that, but it also kind of like forces us to acknowledge that, look, we need to build stuff that's going to work on the iPhone and the iPad and build it once and not have to build it again. You know, not build it for every single device that we want to use it on. And so my hope is that someday, and I think we will, we'll get to some kind of standardization with these apps where if you don't have to build an app for every single OS out there.
Mm-hmm. I think the other implication that a lot of people need to start realizing is the more dependent we become on these mobile wireless devices, the actual bigger problem is access and the cloud. So we're, we're accessing all of this content not on the device anymore. We're streaming it or it's through a browser. And the connection points from the device to the network and then the network to where the content is going to be increasingly more critical. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, I can't play checkers with you because the network is down. You know, it's like, I can't access my banking information, or I can't buy my airline ticket, or, you know, I can't check into a place because the connection is down to the server. And when so we become more and more critical and more reliant on all these things to do much more important things, that I think is where everybody should be paying attention to as well, not just on a cool looking device.
Right. And so the natural progression is we move everything from local storage to cloud storage because that can make the devices slimmer, cheaper, and so forth. But if we don't have the right network to support that, it's going to break apart. It's going to fall apart.
Mm-hmm. And then that goes back to some of the other stuff that I think we'll cover in probably successive broadcasts is, you know, Where does advertising play as a way to subsidize? Where does, you know, subscription models, where does the freemium stuff fit in? Because those are all ways to help defray the cost of access and content, right?
Yeah. Well, and just kind of buy-in or understanding from big players about the value of having a good Wi-Fi signal, for instance, in subways, kills me. Mm-hmm. That and people are putting mobile marketing up, you know, why can't the Wi-Fi in the London subway be sponsored by T-Mobile or something like free Wi-Fi sponsored by T-Mobile with a bunch of ads that you have to watch and then you get through and you get your free Wi-Fi or something.
That's right.
You know, I would watch ads for Wi-Fi in the subway systems.
Sure, because all you want to do is just check email or look at some site or maybe just read the news. And because you don't have coverage, you are bored. Yeah.
or even like Boingo. It doesn't have to be a carrier. It could be someone like Boingo, just instead of like expanding beyond the airports to get into those places. And then if you had that, people would get used to having their Wi-Fi turned on because it would be useful instead of most of the time when you're just kind of out and about and it's hit or miss whether or not you can get a Wi-Fi signal, and then you may not have access anyway. But if, you know, I mean, Boingo could make a killing here if they just got set up in all the subway stations and everyone just got used to paying $10 a month to be able to access their email while they're sitting on the train. I'd probably pay more than $10 a month actually.
Or somehow, you know, if it ever came to fruition that people could share, so meaning that, let's say Boingo was the one who was sponsoring or providing access in the subway, but then you were on Verizon, that somehow there'd be a way to share so that I could buy, you know, an hour's worth of time, or that my subscription could all be sort of packed into one place rather than having to pay subscriptions to 10 different vendors just because somebody else owns the network, you know.
Yeah, like being able to go to other banks' ATMs, exactly like that, right? You pay $2,
yeah,
fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Let's get back to – let's do iPad a little bit more. So do you think that – what do you think people are going to do? Are people going to start – is everyone who has a good, successful app going to go make an iPad app? Or do you know if there are – I know there's softwares out there that will help you take an iPhone app and make it – switch it for Android very quickly. And I haven't checked to see if they've built it where you can do that to switch it for iPad. I said iPad to Android, and then I don't know if we can do iPhone or iPhone to iPad. I got confused there.
Well, I think one big thing that is a huge difference that's obvious is the real estate, right? I mean, the amount of screen size you have is going to make you want to rethink how you design an application. And so a lot of, I think, game developers that I've talked to independently, they've said, yeah, you know, now that I have all this screen real estate, I could make much more interesting games rather than having just this constrained thing. The other one is maybe reference materials. So again, you know, Wikipedia would be great on an iPad. It's horrible on an iPhone, you know, just because you need that much screen real estate. The other scary one is that, okay, if you have a bigger screen on the iPad, does that mean that mobile advertising vis-a-vis display advertising will actually make a comeback? Which, you know, it could be good, I guess, if you're, you know, subsidizing the app or subsidizing a service, but... you know, marketeers may think, oh, great, we have this really cool, now engaging interface, but maybe I'm just wanting to care about the apps and the services more than the advertising part.
No, I think that'll totally happen. In one way or another, if they can figure out how to get crazy, massive pop-ups, they will.
Yeah, so. Like you might see, you know, you might see how you do on websites, the interstitial stuff, right? See this link, you know, see this ad or whatever blip, and then go to, you know, the site after clicking on it.
Now, there was one other interesting thing that was all over Twitter, I think last night and the night before, was the admission of Opera to the App Store. So now the iPhone is allowing people to download other browsers. That's pretty important, I think.
So I definitely agree. When I looked at it under the covers, the reason why it got allowed into the App Store was because it's technically not a browser. What it actually is, it's an application that's going to render other websites. So it's not truly a real browser like the Safari one on iPhone. It's sort of doing a lot of... It's a client that accesses a server that's doing all the rendering for these web pages you're trying to access.
It's
so
a transcoding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it can do transcoding.
But,
and you know.
But historically, the brand Opera is a browser company, and I think that that was probably just semantical concessions that Opera had to make. Maybe not just semantics, right. Actually pragmatic. They had to make some concessions so that they didn't step on any toes. But is that true across the board in all the app stores, do you think, or just in no, it's got to be true, I guess, not just U.S. But Opera is a much more important browser internationally than it is in the U.S., especially mobile browser.
True. But I also think that, you know, think about things like BlackBerry, right, the other big platform out there where, I mean, IE doesn't have a RIM port or something like that, or Safari doesn't have a RIM browser. So, you know, it could be interesting that if this is the direction where that's how you can play, you might actually see Opera, Skyfire, and all these other companies that are in that space pick up some steam because that might be the business model.
Yeah, could be. Well, we'll have to talk about this all more next week. I think we're going to have to wrap this one up. But I'm happy to have you on board as a new co-host. Very excited. So everyone, you've been listening to Mobile Slate, you've been listening to Mobile Presence with Eric Chan from Mobile Slate and me, I'm Cindy Crum from Rank Mobile, and you're listening to webmasterradio.fm, and you can listen to Mobile Presence every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. But keep doing your mobile stuff. Enjoy.